This is America Weekend, and I'm Mike Bennett. In a moment, we'll be talking with George Harrison's sister, Louise, about her role in the Beatles' success. But first, country music superstars Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert announced this week they're getting divorced. The couple reportedly filed divorce documents a while ago, and a judge officially ended their four-year-old marriage this week. Blake is reportedly the one who filed, and all the financial arrangements had already been worked out. They had a prenup. The divorce was filed in Oklahoma. Sources say Shelton will get the ranch in Oklahoma and Lambert will get the family home in Nashville. The couple says this is not the future we envisioned, and it is with a heavy heart that we move forward separately. We are real people with real lives, with real family, friends, and colleagues. Therefore, we kindly ask for privacy and compassion concerning this very personal matter. The issues, according to one source, he was eager to have children, but she really enjoys not being tied down. Lambert also has a more rigorous touring schedule. The source says they were never together and he was wanting them to move close to be together. She really loves her career and touring. She has the ability to go and record albums when she wants and to tour. Despite cheating rumors, the source says Blake Shelton never strayed in his marriage. The source said, "Blake is just your incredibly loyal and dedicated husband. I can guarantee you that he has been faithful." Over the years, the voice coach has been linked in the tabloids to various contestants on the NBC reality show. Meanwhile, Miranda Lambert broke down on stage after a song she sang, which had been given to her by Blake Shelton. Miranda was at Cheyenne Frontier Days in Wyoming when she tried singing "The House That Built Me." It was originally written for Blake, but he gave it to Miranda to record, and it's become a big hit for her. She started choking up and ended up asking the audience to help finish it. Miley Cyrus is hosting the 2015 MTV Video Music Awards, set to air live August 30th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Miley announced the news by dressing up as an alien and wearing a sandwich board that reads, "MTV won't let me perform on one side, and so I'm hosting this year's VMAs on the other side." Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj got into a bit of a beef on Twitter this week about the MTV Video Music Award nominations. Minaj is upset because she wasn't nominated for Video of the Year. She posted on Twitter, "If your video celebrates women with very slim bodies, you will be nominated for Video of the Year." Swift tweeted to Minaj, "I've done nothing but support and love you. It's unlike you to pit women against each other. Maybe one of the men took your slot." Minaj responded, "Huh? You must not be reading my tweets. Didn't say a word about you. I love you just as much, but you should speak on this." Swift is up for 9 awards, including Video of the Year for Bad Blood. Minaj is nominated for 5 videos, but as you heard, not for the Video of the Year. Louise Harrison is the sister of the late George Harrison of the Beatles. Her new book is called My Kid Brother's Band.
Hello, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Fine.
This book, right? It's all about your involvement with your brother's little group, right?
My brother's pathetic little group.
Now, did you know right off the start when the four of them got together and called themselves the Beatles that this was going to be such a big sensation?
No, I didn't know, but I wasn't there in England when they first got started. I'd already moved to, I was living in Canada, South America, and then in 1963 I moved into the United States. But I did have word from my mother, and she was the sort of person that, if her son was in a band and they were just, you know, mediocre, she would have just said, "Oh, he's kind of having fun with a bunch of buddies in a band. They've got a little band." But when she talked to me about it, she said, "You know, these guys are absolutely phenomenal." And, you know, for my mum to say that, she wasn't the kind of mother who thought that all her kids were fantastic. You know, she would assess whether we were good at something or not, you know. But for her to say that, I thought, well, wow, there's something going on here. And so when I started getting the singles, I started going around the radio stations and trying to see if I could get some airplay for them. But I discovered, you know, how difficult it was, and so I started doing research, getting Cashbox and Billboard and the Variety magazines. I was writing to Brian Epstein every week, big, long, 16-page handwritten letters. I didn't know how to type back then. And writing to him, telling him all of the things that he needed to know that I felt maybe would be helpful, and, you know, in order to get him some traction over here. So that was basically what happened.
Now, did you also help secure the meeting with Ed Sullivan on CBS and set up that whole historic appearance?
No, I didn't help to secure it. People keep saying that, and that's not what happened. However, every letter that I wrote to Brian, I was writing to him every week. Once I realized when I moved to the United States that Ed Sullivan was the top, the best entry-level thing that you could get, for any kind of show business thing, I started writing. I told him about it in the first couple of letters, and then every letter that I wrote to him after that, I put on the bottom, P.S., don't forget about the Ed Sullivan Show. So what happened was, back towards the end of the year, the Beatles had been in Sweden, doing a small, short tour in Sweden, and they arrived back in London Airport at the same time that Ed Sullivan was leaving London Airport. And he happened to see the big, commotion, all the crowds and the screaming kids and everything. And so he found, he said, what's going on here? And tracked it down and discovered, where their manager was and got in touch with him. And as it turned out, Brian at that time was, the Beatles were doing so well in Europe that Brian was, being really, what would you say, besieged from all quarters. But when he heard, he was told, okay, Ed Sullivan is on the line, he had enough information from me about it that he said, oh, okay, I'll take the call, because he wasn't just taking just everybody that called him at that point in time. So in one way, I suppose, I helped a little bit, but I certainly was not somebody who secured an engagement for them,
Well, but you had a lot to do with it, so that's good. Now, tell us about your brother, George, and his upbringing, because you say your parents played a big role in his success and really the success of the Beatles.
Yes, I think so, because they were very, very good sense of humor, very grounded. They had a good set of values, and we just had a really wonderful childhood, because we always, even during World War II, we always had a lot of fun out of it. One of the things about Liverpool, and it just happened that I ran into somebody on the train a couple of days ago who was also from Liverpool, and we were remarking about how in Liverpool, one of the first things you learn to do is to make fun of yourself, and, to have a good sense of humor and to be able to make fun of, especially the bad things that were happening. And in my book, one of the things that I think is quite noticeable is the fact that so many of the things that went on during World War II we found excruciatingly funny. And so, you can weather the storm much better if you can laugh at it, But that was part of our upbringing. And I think, the set of the values that my dad taught, he always had this one saying about, this it was a Shakespeare quotation, said, this above all to thine own self be true, and it follows as the night the day, thou canst not then be false to anyone. And so that was one of the things that, stuck in our minds very much, being true to yourself. And then, obviously, you would be true to everybody else. And, there's been many times when both George and I have gotten into trouble by simply being a little bit too honest, because not everybody really wants to hear the truth.
We're talking to Louise Harrison. So what's your greatest memory of your brother?
My greatest memory of him? Oh, golly. I don't know, really, what would be the greatest memory.
Or like a great moment that you had with him.
Gee, I don't know.
I didn't mean to stump you. I thought maybe that there was something that stood out.
Well,
let me ask you this. What's your favorite George Harrison tune, whether it was the Beatles or as a solo artist?
Oh, okay. Well, now my favorite tune for the last number of years has been Cheer Down. It's not one of the most well-known ones, but it's called Cheer Down.
Instead of Cheer Up, yeah.
Instead of Cheer Up, yeah, because, well, the reason I liked it is I don't even remember, there was a TV show called Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Sure.
Okay, well, that was sort of when we were kids, not that I was that much of a kid, I was 11 years older than him, but when I would get all excited about something and be very enthusiastic about something, he would look at me like, oh gosh, there she goes again, So I felt very much when he did the cheer down that I'd kind of had that expression from him in the past that, oh, here she goes again, you know, curb your enthusiasm or cheer down, you know.
Exactly. Well, the book is called In My Kid Brother's Band, a.k.a. The Beatles, right?
Yeah, My Kid Brother's Band. Because that's what I called it when I was going around to all of the radio stations in 1963. You know, in the United States in 1963, if I'd have said the word Beatles, you know, they would have thought about an insect, obviously, or they maybe thought I was an exterminating company or something. But so there was no point in saying that word, so I just said My Kid Brother's Band. But it was funny because last fall, I gave a copy of the book to Paul. I was at one of his concerts, and I gave him the book, and he looked down at the name of it, and he says, Your Kid Brother's Band?
Well, listen, you have great memories. Thanks for sharing some of them with us. Louise Harrison will always think of you when we think of the Beatles now.
Okay, well, I've certainly been thought of as the mum to the global family of Beatle people, so say hello to mum, everybody out there, and my love to all of you. Thank you always. Bye-bye.
With Louise Harrison, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend. America
Weekend. Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call now, 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.